The reality is that most unhappiness, if not all unhappiness, comes from a misalignment of the life that we're currently living with the desires of our soul and the knowledge of our soul.
Welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
Summertime edition, summer snacks. Spiritually Hungry snacks. There, I got you. It took three episodes, but I finally got you to say snacks.
So, I want to talk about something that most people would consider to be a depressing topic.
Nice.
But I keep talking about it because I don't think enough people do. And I think
not enough people are depressed.
That we need to normalize this topic because I think it's a very important part of life.
Am I going to be happier after this conversation?
I think so.
Okay.
So that is the topic of death.
Oh, nice.
And most people, I think.
The lightest of them all.
Of all. Most people fear death, obviously. I think most everybody fears death. But I want to posit something. I think that most people should actually fear life and not living the life they were meant to or intended to. And I think what's interesting, and this is why I think death is an important thing to talk about, because it really, if you see it up close, which I guess that's been the big shift for me personally the last 3 or 4 years, it's the first time in my life that I have. And it's been, you know, a few people very close to me in the past couple of years. And it's different every time. And people leave the world differently, just as they come in the world differently and everything in between, right? We talk about that in Kabbalah, tikkun, reincarnation, process is the ultimate purpose. But I think when you witness it, it also, if you're paying attention, will inform how you start living your own life. And so in that way, it's been, if there's a silver lining, the gift of me seeing it up close is teaching me exactly that. So I think
I would just say, yeah. before you share the next idea, is that having witnessed these processes, it has very much affirmed my, you know, certainty in the importance of living a spiritual life.
Me too.
Because you see, again, I have to say, I haven't seen the other way of leaving from this physical world, but the ways that I've seen of people who lived a spiritual life were beautiful and powerful. And it's interesting. There's an ancient story in the Torah, in the Bible, that there was a very negative person. His name was Bilam. He was a sorcerer, and he was a very powerful man, but he was also a negative person. But as his last request of the Creator was, let me die the death of the righteous. Meaning, even though I'm not going to be living my life in such a good way, but I've seen the way the righteous die, and that's the way I want to die. And which I thought was very, which is really what we're talking about. Obviously, that's not possible. You can live one way and leave this world the other. But having seen the way people who are living a spiritual life leave this physical world, that's definitely the way one wants to go.
It's an impetus, honestly. If I never... You know, it's funny because I've often told you when I was in high school and I wanted to get my friends to do things that we probably shouldn't have been doing and I shouldn't have been influencing them to do it. Like, you only live once. I was definitely a bad influence. Definitely. Most definitely. My go-to line was, you only live once. Exactly. Like, you're never going to see them again. Those were the interchangeable ones. Of course, we did see them again. And then I found Kabbalah and I was like, no, you live many lifetimes and it matters what you do. So I stopped saying that, obviously. But it makes you actually want to get this life right, you know? And I've seen people who have even studied Kabbalah, even taught Kabbalah. And then when the work gets too hard, they're like, oh, you just come back next time and fix it. And, you know, it's very flippant because obviously it's not that simple. So what it comes down to, right? So I'm not going to leave everybody with that thought of like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life now? But it comes down to desire and what it is that we desire in life. And we desire obviously many different things, which we're meant to because we live in a physical body. I'm craving a steak. I'm probably going to eat that in the next few days. We crave different things. We desire different things. But the ultimate desire, right? The purpose in which you do things, what leads your actions and your words and your efforts, right? Has to be based obviously on something that is immortal, right? Which is the desire to impart more than it is
right
to
receive. I would use the word soul or right, or like you're saying, sharing, right? That how I think, unfortunately, most of us are not enough of us are asking not often enough, what does my soul want to do?
Exactly. We really ask our question most every day, what does my body want today? and what would make me feel good or right. happy, and which is obviously relative to, I mean, what is happiness, right? So then you can chase.
And by
that.
The way, and like you said before, there's nothing wrong with asking the question, "What's going to make me feel good?" Right? Or what will
make
me happy?
But you also have to consider,
as long as the real driving force of life is, what does my soul want me to do? And if those two things contradict each other, you go with the soul, not the body.
Right. Exactly. Because if feeling good is going out every night until 3-4 in the morning, your soul is not going to feel too good eventually. And there will be a disconnect. So feeling good isn't right. enough in and of itself.
And also, especially since if you're not listening to your soul and living your life based on its directive to you, then you're actually not going to be enjoying very many things, and you're actually not going to be very happy, right? I mean, that's the reality. The reality is that most unhappiness, if not all unhappiness, comes from a misalignment of the life that we're currently living with the desires of our soul and the knowledge of our soul.
Exactly. So a tool that I want to offer is just each day, ask yourself what percentage of your desire is in body and what percent is in soul, because then it's pretty straightforward, right? It's just numbers and you can really be very accurate about it. In this day, were you 50% with your body's desires? Was it 50% soul? Was it 90% body? Was it 10% soul? And then keep a track of it. Keep a journal and look at it over a month's time and track how much of each day was spent in which percentage. It's going to actually wake you up and probably be a little jarring, because you're like, wait, that's not what I thought I was doing, because that one action of sharing, which was really only 10% that day, it felt so good. I felt so good about that I thought that was enough for the day or the week even, right?
Right, right.
And it's easy to kind of fool yourself in that way. So, and yeah.
If I can, it leads to really a deeper spiritual truth, which like you said, is a little bit scary, but I think it's very necessary. And that is that we are an accumulation of our actions. There's a concept that the Zohar speaks about. This idea was called the impurity of death. So literally what that means is, on a very basic level, literal level, if a person is in the same room as somebody who's just died, there's the understanding that some of that energy of death has been transferred over to all those living people in that room. And there's a process that you do to get rid of that, right? But on a deeper level, every time we act in a negative way, every time we act in a selfish way, certainly when we hurt other people, but even when we're just being purely selfish, we are accumulating that force of death.
And that energy sticks to us.
And it sticks to us. It's with us. So that when you're 70, and we touched upon this in previous podcasts, but the reason why many people, when they're, I don't know, pick an age, 60, 70, 80, they feel a death of desire. It is simply, it's a too small of a word. It is because of the accumulation of selfish actions, which cause death, not just physical, ultimate death, but more important, death of desire or death of our connection to our soul. And when you think about life in that way, the question, it becomes a very urgent question. What percent of my day is body? What percent of my day is soul? What percent of my day is selfish? What percent of my day is in service of others or in sharing? Because it's not just, am I a good person? Am I spiritual? You know, it's what's my accumulation of light versus life versus death today?
Because what are you comparing yourself to? If you say, am I a spiritual person, relative to what? Am I, you know, and it's easy to say, well, I'm better off than that person, or at least I'm doing this, but that's not what we're talking about.
Did I accumulate more life today?
Or did you have an aspect of death in the day? Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. So I want our listeners to look at, I would say, the past year, but we could say the past week
What you said, I just want to, underscore it again, is that think about yesterday, right? So the understanding is this. If yesterday 51% of the day was all around, we'll call it the body, all around selfishness, then that day is now a weight on your spirit, on your soul. And so, and as conversely, if yesterday was 51% of the day spent on soul, we'll call soul desires or actions of sharing, then that day is lifting you up.
And then you're excited. So, it propels you into the next
exactly.
day.
Exactly. It's literally lifting you up.
That's why sometimes you wake up in the morning. You're like, oh my God, I don't feel like doing anything at all. And you can't understand, where is this feeling come from?
It's the weight of the death of the previous day or days before.
Exactly. So ask yourself just about yesterday. How much more could you have done? How much more could you have accomplished? How much of your day, what percentage was rooted in soul desire, right? Just look at that day, at yesterday. And then I would do this again, everything that we've suggested today so far, do it for the next 40 days. Wake up and keep a log of these things. And I think that after 40 days, you're probably going to realize that you want to spend your life differently. Because if not, you know, I thought about this a while ago and it stayed with me. Life can just feel like leftovers. You know, it's never really fresh. It's not really new. You've had it before. It's kind of like just the scraps. You're not really getting the essence of the day. Therefore, you're not getting the essence of what you were supposed to fulfill on that day. And before you know, your life basically is a life of leftovers rather than creating something new. And you know me, I like to think in kind of like more heavy kind of dark pictures, but it does make you say, wait a second, I don't want my life to be leftovers. And I remember I had that thought when my father was really ill and he was dying. I mean, he was with, you know, his disease, but I used to go visit him at the recreation center. And, you know, it was my father, the chemist, his friend, the doctor, two other men. And their days were just, there were no days anymore. The day certainly was not lived. It was not, they didn't exist in the day, right? And I started to think about, well, at one point there was something else so completely. And the weird thing, and I think that's how I got to the thought, was it was a recreation center. So you had children coming in for nursery school and you had mothers in their frantic lives paying attention to the wrong thing. And I was just sitting there watching all of this. And I was like, okay, this is life, right? This is life. And right now the mothers are feeling really good. They're really busy. They're at that stage of their life. The children are just full of wonder and curiosity. You have these other people who are really sick and they're towards the end of their life. And you look at life as a whole. And unless you're completely oblivious to everything, you can't stop and say, wait a second, you know, is my life being fully lived or am I giving death to each day? Because that's what it just became crystal clear to me.
Absolutely. And the inspiring and uplifting message here is,
yes,
that,
let's lift it back up.
is that even if your life is okay, it could be amazing if you are constantly asking and pushing towards a day of the soul, right? A day of life. Being conscious of how many of your days, as we said before, are actually days that are going to weigh you down unless you change the way you live them moving forward.
Again, this is important because then you get more important days, and that at the end, whenever our time to leave is, each day will be full of life and elevation, no matter how old you are or what age you are at.
Right, which brings me, there's a beautiful section in the Zohar where in the Torah, in the Bible, it speaks about Abraham. It says, when he died, it says, Abraham was old coming with his days, right? Which means
was
that...
was old coming with
it
his
days. It says that he was an old man coming with his days. What that means is that because he lived every single day fully, a day of the soul, days of the soul, they actually become an energy that lifts him up. So that, for instance, Abraham's death was not a negative one. It was a very positive one. And of course, his life in this world was a positive one. His life when it's in the world of the souls was a positive one. Because as we said before, we are an accumulation of our days. Either they are days of life that lift us up continuously, and even when our soul leaves this world, or if we're not conscious, we live days of death, and they bring us down while we're here. And of course, they proceed to be a weight when our soul leaves this world.
Yeah, the way I envision it, is that like
balloons.
When Abraham left his body, it's almost like the soul just stepped out of the body and it went somewhere else. It was just a detachment. Versus,
well, that's what. But more
versus
importantly,
like a pain.
Yeah. No, literally. Not literally, right? But like, what's that movie? That kids' movie. When he puts the balloons on the house and lifts up.
Oh, I think it's
up,
called
Up and Away.
Up and Away. Up and Away. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so literally, his days enveloped him and lifted him up into light and goodness, as opposed to what happens to those who have an accumulation of dead days. Literally, there is that sense of being pulled down, the soul being pulled down when the soul leaves the body. But again,
yeah, we're leaving this on a happy thought.
Right. The happy thought is that today
you can do something.
You can do something about today, yeah. And then you could do what you do today affects your tomorrow, and the tomorrow after that, and the tomorrow after that. To the degree, and hopefully, we're inspiring our listeners to make sure that our days are at least 51% life. 51% soul, 51%, we'll call it actions of sharing, then what you're guaranteeing is that today is lived and that today lifts you into tomorrow and then ascending all the way forever. So
And with that.
Yes. I think, right. So what we're asking our listeners, hopefully inspiring our listeners.
It's not even stay spiritually hungry. It's become spiritually even hungrier.
But I was going to say is that in now in the summer months.
It's a good time.
Take the opportunity to really assess day by day. Assess today, assess yesterday, assess tomorrow. Is my day alive? Is it lifting me up? Am I accumulating days of life?